Today is December 12th. I just spit all over my keyboard. Sorry, hold on. With that big T, that 12th. Sorry about that. Today is December 12th. I'm Brian. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. It's great to be here with you today as we approach the halfway point through the final month of the year. I can hardly believe it. I don't even want to think about it. Let's not think about that right now. We're reading from the New Living Translation this week. We're reading from the Minor Prophets. And of course, we're in the book of Revelation and the New Testament. Amos chapter 7, verse 1 through 9, 15. The Sovereign Lord showed me a vision. I saw him preparing to send a vast swarm of locusts over the land. This was after the king's share had been harvested from the fields, and as the main crop was coming up. In my vision, the locusts ate every green plant in sight. Then I said, "O Sovereign Lord, please forgive us, or we will not survive, for Israel is so small." So the Lord relented from this plan. "I will not do it," he said. Then the Sovereign Lord showed me another vision. I saw him preparing to punish his people with a great fire. The fire had burned up the depths of the sea and was devouring the entire land. Then I said, "O Sovereign Lord, please stop or we will not survive, for Israel is so small." Then the Lord relented from this plan too. "I will not do that either," said the Sovereign Lord. Then he showed me another vision. I saw the Lord standing beside a wall that had been built using a plumb line. He was using a plumb line to see if it was still straight. And the Lord said to me, "Amos, what do you see?" I answered, "A plumb line." And the Lord replied, "I will test my people with this plumb line. I will no longer ignore all their sins. The pagan shrines of your ancestors will be ruined, and the temples of Israel will be destroyed. I will bring the dynasty of King Jeroboam to a sudden end." Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. "Amos is hatching a plot against you, right here on your very doorstep. What he is saying is intolerable. He is saying, Jeroboam will soon be killed, and the people of Israel will be sent away into exile." Then Amaziah sent orders to Amos, "Get out of here, you prophet. Go on back to the land of Judah and earn your living by prophesying there. Don't bother us with your prophecies here in Bethel. This is the king's sanctuary and the national place of worship." But Amos replied, "I'm not a professional prophet, and I was never trained to be one. I'm just a shepherd, and I take care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord called me away from my flock and told me, 'Go and prophesy to my people in Israel.' Now then, listen to this message from the Lord. You say, 'Don't prophesy against Israel. Stop preaching against my people.' But this is what the Lord says. Your wife will become a prostitute in this city, and your sons and daughters will be killed. Your land will be divided up, and you yourself will die in a foreign land. And the people of Israel will certainly become captives in exile, far from their homeland." Then the Sovereign Lord showed me another vision. In it, I saw a basket filled with ripe fruit. "What do you see, Amos?" he asked. I replied, "A basket full of ripe fruit." Then the Lord said, "Like this fruit, Israel is ripe for punishment. I will not delay their punishment again. In that day, the singing in the temple will turn to wailing. Dead bodies will be scattered everywhere. They will be carried out of the city in silence. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken." Listen to this, you who rob the poor and trample down the needy. You can't wait for the Sabbath day to be over and the religious festivals to end, so you can get back to cheating the helpless. You measure out grain with dishonest measures and cheat the buyer with dishonest scales. And you mix the grain you sell with chaff swept from the floor. Then you enslave poor people for one piece of silver or a pair of sandals. Now the Lord has sworn this oath by his own name, the pride of Israel. I will never forget the wicked things you have done. The earth will tremble for your deeds, and everyone will mourn. The ground will rise like the Nile River at flood time. It will heave up, then sink again. In that day, says the Sovereign Lord, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth while it is still day. I will turn your celebrations into times of mourning and your singing into weeping. You will wear funeral clothes and shave your heads to show your sorrow, as if your only son had died. How very bitter that day will be. The time is surely coming, says the Sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and wander from border to border, searching for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. Beautiful girls and strong young men will grow faint in that day, thirsting for the Lord's word. And those who swear by the shameful idols of Samaria, who take oaths in the name of the God of Dan, and make vows in the name of the God of Beersheba, they will all fall down, never to rise again. Then I saw a vision of the Lord standing beside the altar. He said, strike the tops of the temple columns so that the foundation will shake. Bring down the roof on the heads of the people below. I will kill with the sword those who survive. No one will escape. Even if they dig down to the place of the dead, I will reach down and pull them up. Even if they climb up into the heavens, I will bring them down. Even if they hide at the very top of Mount Carmel, I will search them out and capture them. Even if they hide at the bottom of the ocean, I will send the sea serpent after them to bite them. Even if their enemies drive them into exile, I will command the sword to kill them there. I am determined to bring disaster upon them and not to help them. The Lord of heaven's armies, touches the land and it melts, and all its people mourn. The ground rises like the Nile River at flood time, and then it sinks again. The Lord's home reaches up to the heavens, while its foundation is on the earth. He draws up water from the oceans and pours it down as rain on the land. The Lord is his name. Are you Israelites more important to me than the Ethiopians? Asks the Lord. I brought Israel out of Egypt, but I also brought the Philistines from Crete and led the Arameans out of Kir. I, the Sovereign Lord, am watching this sinful nation of Israel. I will destroy it from the face of the earth, but I will never completely destroy the family of Israel, says the Lord. For I will give the command and will shake Israel along with the other nations as grain is shaken in a sieve. Yet not one true kernel will be lost, but all the sinners will die by the sword. All those who say, nothing bad will happen to us. In that day, I will restore the fallen house of David. I will repair its damaged walls. From the ruins, I will rebuild it and restore its former glory. And Israel will possess what is left of Edom, and all the nations I have called to be mine. The Lord has spoken, and he will do these things. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. I will bring my exiled people of Israel back from distant lands, and they will rebuild their ruined cities and live in them again. They will plant vineyards and gardens. They will eat their crops and drink their wine. I will firmly plant them there, in their own land. They will never again be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Revelation 3:7-22. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do. And I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they are Jews but are not, to come and bow down at your feet. They will acknowledge that you are the ones I love, because you have obeyed my command to persevere. I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they will never have to leave it. And I will write on them the name of my God, and they will be citizens in the city of my God. The new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God, and I will also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me. Gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me, so you will not be shamed by your nakedness. An ointment for your eyes, so you will be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. Psalm 131. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. A psalm of David. Lord, my heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have claimed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Yes, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, now and always. Proverbs 29:23. Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. From the book of Revelation, we come to a couple of oft-quoted passages, things that are popular in Scripture. This idea of lukewarm, be one or the other, or I'll spit you out of my mouth. And this Scripture of, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Both of these are written to the church in Laodicea. And I've gotten into the habit, when I come to popular scriptures, scriptures that I grew up with, things that I've kind of known all my life, things that we quote to each other, try to pay attention to what's before and after it, what the context for what's being said is, because so often, at least in my life, you know, we just have these, we're just such a soundbite culture. We just say these verses, pulling them out of their context and not really knowing why they were said. Even if we're using them in the right context or using them encouragingly or comfortingly, we don't necessarily know why we're saying them. We just know the Bible says that, so we should say something from the Bible to somebody to help them along their path or to be helped along our path when it's said to us. It's really interesting. And I've kind of talked about the lukewarm thing before, but it's interesting. After that, what Jesus says as he's kind of unpacking this idea. And he says, you say I'm rich. You say I have everything. You're comfortable in where you're at. You don't need anything. And you don't realize that you're miserable and poor and blind and naked. And then he speaks of riches that we can get from him, gold that's been purified by fire, garments that are white, so that we won't be shamed by our nakedness, ointment for our eyes, so we would be able to see. I want that. I want that gold purified by fire. I want those white garments. I need the ointment for my eyes so that I can see. I don't want to live harmless and comfortable, thinking that I have everything that I need, only to be fooling myself and be miserable and poor and blind and naked and wretched. I just don't want to be that guy. I've been that guy. I don't want that to be me. And it's from that context that this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Look, I'm standing at the door and knocking, comes from. A lot of times we misquote that as kind of the closing argument for someone to accept Jesus. Like, look, you know, your life has brought you here, and behold, he's standing at the door and he's knocking, and if you would just open the door, you'd come in. Now, that's not really the context. Jesus is saying that to the church. He's saying that to those who are his children, those who believe. And he's saying it after all that we just talked about. Don't be comfortable. Don't think you have it all together. Don't think you have everything you want or need, because you won't even realize that you're miserable and poor and blind and naked. Get your riches purified by fire from me. Get your clothes white as snow from me. Get the oil and ointment for your eyes from me. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent. And this idea of diligence and vigilance is all throughout Scripture. Diligent and turn from that posture. That posture of indifference, that you simply have everything you need. You don't. Look, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If you'll hear what I'm saying to you. So Jesus is speaking to us who believe. If you'll hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. We'll share the meal together as friends. And those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I've sat victorious on the throne of my Father. I don't like to wade too far into the eschatological waters. I'm not an expert on the end times. I read the prophecies. I read the book of Revelation, just as I am to you. And I confess that the more that I read and study, even theologically, the more I don't know. And so when everyone looks at what's happening around them and says, okay, this is where that puzzle piece fits, this is the fulfillment of that prophecy, and this is happening in our time, and Jesus must be coming back in a few days or a few months or a few years, I just think maybe he will. and I just simply want to be ready whenever he does. So there's this this thing coming up here in a couple of weeks. The world is supposed to end according to the Mayans. And I'm sure there'll be lots of end of the world parties happening on the 21st of December. And I am sure that a lot of people will look at that day and wonder, could this be really the end of things? Could this be the shift of things? Maybe. I don't know. I just want what Jesus is describing here. I just want that to be my life. So I can't really put dates on things, and I can't really put puzzle pieces in. There are people who have applied themselves to that kind of scholarship. And I haven't. And I'm not even sure if you apply yourself to scholarship, that everything that can be unpacked will be unpacked until Jesus wants it disclosed. So trying to do, day-by-day commentary on the book of Revelation is just not my strong suit. I just don't have the skill. I just want what Jesus describes in the book of Revelation today. I don't want to be indifferent. I don't want to be harmless. I don't want to be so comfortable that I'm miserable and don't even know it, that I'm wretched and don't even see it, that I'm naked and everybody knows it but me, that I'm poor and blind and can't even tell. I don't want to be that indifferent. I don't want that for my life. I want what Jesus is offering, and that's what he's offering. He's saying, in metaphoric fashion, buy your gold from me. It's been purified by fire. Then you'll actually be rich. Buy your garments white from me, so you won't be ashamed by your nakedness, and the ointment for your eyes, so you'll be able to see. I'm standing at the door. I'm knocking. I'm ready to offer all of this to you. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. Okay, so I don't want to unpack days and times and all of the different nuances. I just want that. Don't you? Don't you want to fling the door open wide and say, come, come Jesus? Because isn't that what Advent is about? This waiting for his arrival? And here in the book of Revelation, he's saying, I'm here, outside the door. I'm knocking. If you can hear and open up, I'll be here. I'll come in. And I've got these gifts that you've been seeking. This purified gold that will make you truly rich. These white garments that will cover your nakedness and shame. This ointment for your eyes so you can see. I've got it all. Open up. Hear my voice. I want that. And so Jesus, we come before you. We're reading your words today. Words that you spoke prophetically through John. And we want what you're saying. We're done with the indifference. We're done with the indifference, the take it or leave it when it comes to you. The take you when we need you, and leave you when we feel like we don't. That you are our plan B, that you are our crisis protection, that you are always there and always loving, and we can use and abuse that whenever we have calamity or crisis. We're done. Done with that. It's really ever only been you or nothing else. This is the reality of life. This is the reality of the world, and we just choose to live in an alternate reality. We're done. We want this. We don't want the mixture. We don't want the lukewarm. We don't want to be miserable and poor and blind and naked and not even know it. So come, Holy Spirit. Come. And even as we observe this season, even as we look forward to your arrival, and we contemplate deeply what your coming is and what your coming might be, we invite you, Jesus, to come. Come and remove the indifference from our lives. We pray this in your name, believing that you are the all-powerful one and can do it. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. And the website, of course, is jumping off point into community. The one thing that I really, really want to talk about when it comes to the website today is that the Daily Audio Bible Women's Captivating Retreat is coming up this April 4th through 7th. And this will be taking place just outside of Atlanta, north and into the mountains this time, at a camp called Sharp Top Cove. It's gorgeous. It's perfect. It's beautiful. In fact, it's a Young Life camp, very, very similar and laid out exactly like they do at the retreats in Colorado. And so we're very, very excited to kind of take this next step into our Daily Audio Bible Women's Ministry Development and what the retreats can and will look like as we go forward. This is going to be fantastic. You can now register. We expect it to fill up. And guys, husbands, this is the kind of gift for your wife that will produce irreversible change in her life. To send her away for a few days with the lover of her soul. Now, granted, you love her, but Jesus loves her. And as the center of your marriage, and her being completely in tune with the passionate love of Jesus in her life, irreversible change. I say this from my own personal experience. I have seen this kind of irreversible change in my own wife. So I know this is true. It's not theory. It's a great gift idea to send your wife to the Captivating Retreat, because it's something she will never, ever forget. But whether you want to do that for Christmas or not, registration for the event in April is now open. If you go to dailyaudiobible.com, there is a banner on the homepage. It's not the top one. The top one's the one about the Daily Audio Bible gift box, Christmas gift box. It's just down and to the right, and you'll see it there. Click it and you can register for the Daily Audio Bible Women's Captivating Retreat this April 4th through 7th. And ladies, those of you who have been before and can't wait to come, now's the time to register. Once it's full, it's full. And we are so excited. So very excited. I've had numerous conversations with Jill and she's just deeply passionate about what the Holy Spirit is speaking into her life in advanced ways about this retreat, and really, really excited to see what God is going to do this April. All right, speaking of Christmas, we talk about the Daily Audio Bible store a lot of the days in December because people are buying Christmas gifts, and we have some, and we think some of them are just cool, like our apparel line. We think it's top quality and great stuff. Some of it we think is replaced and valuable. Things like the passages book and the study guide. As you move your way toward the new year, what better gift than the gift of a person? Exactly what they're looking for. A reason to find themselves in a relationship with the Bible. Or the gift box that we have this year. It contains just a great assortments of really good things. Check it out. You're at dailyaudiobible.com. Registering for the Captivating Retreat. All right, if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you're at the end of the year. You're planning your end of the year charitable giving. Thank you for considering the Daily Audio Bible. Daily Audio Bible is a nonprofit corporation. We'll certainly give you a tax deductible receipt for your contribution. I hate talking in that kind of language. I really only do it last part of the year. Because really what we do is, as a community, we do together. And that hasn't changed. I'm just reminding. that as you consider partnering with ministry, thank you for considering here. The website's the place to go. There's a link on the homepage. The mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. That's it for today. I love you. Brian.
You here. Hello, my name is Kay. I say that because my name is really not important, because I am a very well-known music producer. I used to produce Tupac and others. I was going to produce Biggie's Falls even before he died. But when I met a lady who was like Tupac's grandmother, told us to pray. At that time, I had dreams and I said, Lord Jesus, if you are real, show yourself to me. I used to smoke marijuana and I'll go on my way to go get something. This man came to me and said that prayer you prayed that night, son, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you that he heard you, that you wanted him to be real to you and show himself. So I say this because this was over 15 years ago. And now that I'm a man of God and God has done so many tremendous things in my life, I say to you all, please keep me in your prayers. My testimony always brings tears to my eyes because I've been through so much. But all of us who are children of God, let's walk this walk like we know nothing. Nothing. I know nothing. I just pray for people and ask God to show me who you want me to point to you. My life belongs to me no longer. I wanted to be a millionaire and all of these things, but God has purged me. But I still find myself in my flesh. And I say, Lord, why? But it's his grace and mercy, and I praise him for it every day. And I thank God for you all, Daily Audio Bible, for helping me. I started not to call, just like many people I hear. And it always encourages me to let me know that I am not alone. So you all, please keep me and my family in your prayers. Because all we want to do is serve God and be a true witness. Because we know nothing of him. Because he is that awesome and that powerful. And I thank him for sparing my life 5 times. In Jesus' name.
Hi, DAB family. This is Laura Gibson out of Fort Myers, Florida. And Yolanda, I heard your call. And I'm so, so glad that things have turned out well for you. I heard your first call, and it just broke my heart, and I was just shocked at what you're going through. And some scriptures have came to my mind after you sharing your success and your story from Daniel chapter 2, starting verse 20. Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It's he who changes the time and the epoch. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals and the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 46, Mary's prayer. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their throne and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Just a reminder that God is able to bring down kings, so how much more can he do for those others in our lives that are in our way? God bless you and everyone else in this wonderful community. I love you all.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Ashley in Tennessee. I love you all. I pray for you all. And Brian and family, thank you so much for all that you do. I'm actually calling today not with a prayer request, but I'm calling for Annette. She constantly calls in and uplifts others and prays for others. And I know she's very active in the DAB community. And Annette, I just wanted to say thank you so much for who you are. And I really appreciate you, and I know that I haven't called any prayer in, but I know that you're very diligently praying for others, and it's such a joy just to hear your voice on here, and you're so uplifting, and you're always so positive, and I'm so grateful for that, and you just seem to me like the true picture of what God said when he said to live life, you know, he gave life more abundantly, and I just wanted to thank you for that. So thanks, everybody, and I hope you have a happy holiday.
Hi, my name is Ken Ford from Pensacola, Florida, and I was just calling to share something with any of you out there that are struggling with God's will in our lives and patience of waiting upon him and what truly he is doing in our lives. And I just appreciate all the testimonies and praises, like Yolanda's healing of her husband and newfound faith that he has. And this is another testimony I wanted to share with you. His name is Nick Bujic, if I can pronounce it right. It's N-I-C-K-B-U-J-I-C-I-C. He is a Australian native, born-again believer that was born with no arms and no legs. Many of you probably have seen him, but if you go to YouTube and Google his testimony and just what God has done through his life and the struggles that he has overcome through the power of Christ. It is truly uplifting and should give all of us hope that are just desperately lost without him, or even us that know we are in his hands yet are struggling through a season in our life. But thank you for your all's prayers and your testimonies. They are a great encouragement to me, and we love you all. God bless.
DAB family, this is Brad from North Carolina. Listen, I called a few weeks ago about baby Isabella Grace, who was having open heart surgery. She was just born on November 12th and was only had half of her heart functioning, but I do have some good news that she is in heaven with our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and she did not survive. She fought the surgery after the surgery for almost 2 weeks, but she just didn't make it. And God had other plans for her, and I just pray that you lift up her parents Sarah and Jared in your prayers, and our heart goes out to them. Thank you.